Calling this meeting of the Lawton County Advisory Board for Tuesday, August 14, 2018, at 1:30 p.m. To order, we are in the Clark County Regional Government Center in Lawton. Some notes before we actually get going. Items on the agenda may be taken out of order, combined, removed, or delayed at any time by this board. No action may be taken on any matter not listed on the posted agenda. All planning and zoning matters heard at this meeting are forwarded to be the Board of County Commissioners or the Clark County Planning Commission for final action. Please turn off or mute all of your cell phones and other electronic devices. Please take all private conversations outside the room. With 48-hour advance requests, assign language interpreter, or other reasonable efforts to assist and accommodate persons with physical disabilities may be made available by calling 702-455-3530 or TDD 702-385-7486 or Relay Nevada toll-free 800-326-6868. Supporting materials provided to the board members for this meeting may be requested from the Lawton Town's manager's office at 702-298-0828 or during regular business hours, and will be available on the county's website at www.clarkcountymd.gov. We'd also like to welcome back Dr. Walls.
Thank you very much. It's good to be back.
The invocation will be given by Reverend Doug Wesley, and then we will have a special leader for the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's pray.
Lord, we remember our young people going back to school now, and we ask you to give a wisdom and a kind heart to the teachers, so the students realize that they're loved and they're cared for and that they have a safe environment to go to school in. We thank you so much for our teachers. They're excellent, and we just want to keep holding them up and praying for them and remembering them all the time. Same with our police department, the ones who keep us safe, our fire department. We lift up also our town board here as well as the manager's office. They all do excellent work. We thank you and bless you.
Tyler Furr, would you please come forward? This one up here.
Let's follow the line.
You're just going to lead us in the pledge.
He's going to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call. The chair is here. Vice Chair Oaks.
Present.
Member Bezos.
Present.
Member Mackey.
Here.
That constitutes a quorum. Next is public comment. This particular public comment period is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items which are on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on this agenda item. If there are public hearings, you will be afforded time to speak then. We have none. If you wish to speak to the board about items within its jurisdiction that not appearing on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step to the speaker's podium. Clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or the board by a majority vote. Item number 3 is approval of the minutes for July 10th. Any questions from the board?
I'll be abstaining. I wasn't present at that meeting. The
floor is open for a motion.
Okay, I will make a motion to go ahead and approve the minutes from the last meeting, which was July 10th, 2018.
I'll second.
Motion by Mackey, second by Guthertz, to approve the minutes of July 10. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
No. Any noes? Any abstentions?
Abstain.
Let the record show that Ms. Mackey, Ms. Oaks, abstains. Roman numeral 4, approval of the agenda for today. And hold, combine, or delete any items. Floor is open for a motion.
I'll make a motion. We approve August 14th, today's agenda.
Is there a second?
I will second that motion.
Motion by Guthrie, second by Mackey, to approve today's agenda as presented. Any more discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Unanimous. Roman numeral number 5, informational items. Receive a report from Lieutenant Jeff Hughes with the Laughlin Substation of the Las Vegas Clark County Metropolitan Police Department regarding activity and statistics during the past month and other area crime concerns for discussion only by the board.
Good afternoon. The month of July, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department responded to 484 calls for service in the Laughlin area. It's up about 10% from the same time period last year. And to give you an idea, even Vegas is up calls for service, so it seems to be a trend, probably just across the nation, more response calls for service by police departments. We issued 507 traffic citations in the month of July. We have 4 DUI arrests. We have 7 battery domestic violence adults, no juvies for battery domestic violence. And in all for our bookings, we had 63 bookings, 1 juvenile citation. And then, since it's applicable now, what we might forget about it, I'll mention the River Regatta this past weekend. We had 0 issues with that. During the event, we didn't have any arrests or anything like that from my shop. Looking at calls for service for our casinos, I'll just list the top 3 is the Riverside, Edgewater, and Colorado Bell for calls for service. And then looking at arrest activity on Casino Drive and around, the main things that we're arresting for is warrants, crossing the field of warrants, narcotics, and property crimes. Are there any questions?
Yes. The percentages shown for the calls for service, is that the total calls for service in the breakdown?
The percentage, like calls for service, when you said at 10%, I mean, 10% higher than we were last
year. I'm referring to page 2.
Oh, page 2? Oh, yeah, that's all the, so when we look at 100% of the calls for service that we get, it shows that property or that address. Out of that 100%, that's what we respond to that address.
From the previous month before, Jim.
So more than 1/5 of the calls were through casinos.
12
just for the total month.
16-20%? Correct. Anything else?
Also, there have been meetings going on concerning Metro's role with other in relation with other agencies in enforcing business license and commercial vehicle tags. Can you give us an update on that, please?
Sure, you're referring to We do continue to do enforcement on there. I didn't have that question posted, so I don't have the exact numbers we're at. But I know like yesterday we wrote a ticket to an electric company that was over here in Nevada side doing business. Had a proper Clark County business license, just didn't have the Nevada equipment tag that you're looking for.
Is this the special sticker that I keep hearing about?
Special, sure. It's an additional sticker, yes. Yep. That they get when they go down to DMV.
To do business here.
Correct. Yeah.
Can you explain that to the audience a little more, please?
Sure. So any business that's out of state that wants to come to Nevada to do business, they have to get a proper Nevada business licensing, which allows them to actually do business at whatever property. But if they're bringing vehicles across, also for the purpose of doing those businesses, they have to be basically registered by the state of Nevada, just like you and I register our cars to be able to drive here.
Where do they get those stickers?
Nevada DMV.
Up in the shopping center.
At the shopping center? Mm-hmm. Any Nevada DMV.
Yeah. Any other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. Receive a report from Nevada Highway Patrol. Is anybody here? Yes, it's a sergeant retired. It may be a while before we have one. Number three, receive a report from Assistant Chief Larry Hugh of the Clark County Fire Department regarding calls for service during the past month and other fire prevention issues. We did not even receive a written report this month, so we will ask them to double up next month. Receive a report from Grant Turner with the Clark County Water Reclamation District regarding the status of the water, wastewater system.
Grant Turner, Clark County Water Reclamation District. For the month of July 2018, we treated an average of 2.47 million gallons per day. We turned that Colorado River. That is decreased by about 60,000 gallons a day over July of last year. We didn't receive any sewer service complaints or odor complaints to our office, and there were 26 calls for anything paid. On another note, we are getting close to wrapping up our capital project we've had going on over there with our equipment rehabilitation. We're looking forward to that. And that, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Yes, I do. What's the status on extending the, or conducting the engineering study to have 70% completion of the engineering study for the trunk line and plant that we would need to go serve the Loft and Southlands, and also on the SID that was submitted months ago concerning Casino Drive from Needles Highway down to Harris?
Those things I don't have information for right now, but I will get that information for you and get back to you on it. But I haven't heard of anything coming from my end.
Okay. On that. Would you be able to make that in writing next month?
Sure.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Any other questions from the board? Thank you for your time. Receive a report from Chauncey Chaudon of the Big Bend Water District regarding the status of the water system for more discussion only.
Good afternoon, everybody. Chauncey Chaudon of the Big Bend Water District. Diversion report for July 2018 was 473 acre feet compared to 462 acre feet last year. No major complaints reported. Just wanted to update the board on a few things we're doing. We're currently refurbishing one of our other filters. That should be completed. In the next several months, you should see a different Big Bend Water District building. We're working on repainting the exterior of that building. So, you know, it's been some time, so that's due. Another thing is that this won't affect that many customers, probably about 38 customers or so, but customers that have multiple accounts under a single name, currently what they're now, how they're billed now is they'll get individual bills for each account. So in terms of efficiency, we've just consolidated all those accounts and they will get one single bill listing all their accounts. So they get one bill per month instead of multiple bills for each individual account.
Residential and commercial?
Correct.
Because I have both.
Correct. Yeah, residential customer and commercial. And what we found is it's just the easier way just to consolidate everything in just one bill instead of them having to get multiple bills each month. Another thing that we're doing, and I know this might be a question, I think, Kathy, you had asked about this regarding the new emergency well. So right now what we're doing is we're still getting environmental permits for that. That should be going smoothly. We don't see any issues with that. So we should probably commence drilling about January 2019. And our hope, of course, you know, in a perfect world, is that the well should be completed by December 2019. So my next...
Just out of curiosity, will you remove the intake that you have in the river or and just go strictly with the well, or will that intake still stay there?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the emergency well is just for if, for example, if it's a lot of rain, if there's a lot of turbidity in the water, we would, if we couldn't use the river, we would go straight to that well because that well would pull out groundwater. So it's just in case of emergency, that's our fallback because of the issues we've had with turbidity in the river. And lastly, I think there was a question at the last board meeting in terms of the longevity of the pipes in the area and what the district is doing to proactively replace them. So the district's asset management department is actually looking at each and every pipeline in Laughlin. So what we'll do, it's going to take about 4 months or so, but we will prioritize pipelines as we go through them and then make a decision on determining on the replacement age and the reliability and then the risk of failure to make a determination to proactively replace those pipelines, which we feel that will fail so that you know it will lessen the chances of main breaks. So that's what we're doing, to proactively replace those pipelines just to ensure that the system is running running smoothly and efficiently. And with that, I'm open to answering any questions if anybody has any.
I noticed according to your report that it says that you actually took out more water this July than last July.
Correct.
And I noticed that seemed to be the first increase since January.
Well, that is correct. Could be, you know, summer is that time of the year when people go out. Maybe a lot of visitors in Laughlin. Could be multiple factors, but yes, you are correct.
Now, did the break of that big water line that, on Bruce Woodbury have anything to do with that?
Probably shouldn't have. I mean, if you look at your prior year, it's not that much of an increase. You're talking about, you know, 13 more acre feet or so. About 11 more acre feet or so. So not that much of an increase. Like I said, it could be due to a variety of factors. It's summer, people are out, a lot of visitors to Laughlin, so.
Do you have an estimate now of how much water was lost with the break?
I don't have that off the top of my head, but I'm pretty sure that that's something we could give to the board.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Sure.
One more question.
Yes.
Same question I asked Greg concerning the 70% engineering design cost for the extension down into the Laughlin Southland, because you can't build any factories or houses or stores or golf courses or subdivisions until you have sewer and water.
Mm-hmm. Just like Mr. Turner, I'm not aware of anything from the water district's point of view. I understand that there was an SID from, I read in the paper regarding the county, but from the water district's point of view, there has been no movement on that.
The SID refers to Casino Drive from Harris to Needles Highway.
Yeah, I would tell you, Mr. Manning, that you, I can try to get you information, but I'm not aware of any movement regarding water in that area.
I make the same request.
Okay. You got it.
And Also, Mr. Chairman, if we could possibly see about working together with the water district and with our treatment facility, water reclamation, because going forward, we're going to need to meet on that and find out with staff where that's going, because it is something that's on the horizon that we want you guys both to be ready for.
Sure.
Going forward. So I think definitely if you can get together with the powers that be within your organizations and advise them to meet with staff, Mr. Paulson, and go forward from there, because it is looming on the horizon.
Sure. We'll see what we can do.
Any more questions from the board? Thank you, Johnson.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Seeing the report from Richard DeClerc with the Parks and Recreation Department regarding staffs and programs and upcoming activities, no written report has been received that I know of, and he's not here. Brownworth with the Las Vegas Clark County Library District Boston Branch Manager is not here with us. Can't receive a verbal report, but I'm going to try and quickly, especially at the urging of my fellow board members, make it short. And there should be packets on the back. If they're not, you can see the town manager's office for a copy, or go to the library, actually. First on the thing is for August is the children's calendar. On the 28th, they're going to have the movie Pee-wee's Big Adventure at 4 p.m. And on the 31st, Ice Cream in a Bag at 3 p.m. Are you from the library? Okay. Programs for adults for August. Their next movie will be Friday the 24th, Ghostbusters at 2 p.m. They have some writing, making garden pots, book club, a canopy class, whatever that is, and device advice, which is for computer dummies like me. August events at the library. Gallery exhibit, a Las Vegas Symphony of Art by Chen Yaji. That runs through October the 6th. The large display case for August is Will Douglas, who's here with us today, on the 4-H. The movie matinees, Making Garden Pots with Hyper Tufa. That's on Friday the 17th. Book Readers Club, Device Advice, Adult Press, Care of Nevada, to answer questions about the Nevada Health Link and open enrollment. That will be on the 25th at 11 a.m. Writers group and the canopy class. It says here that Canopy is an on-demand streaming movie service that you can access from home with your library card. Join Tanya, she shows you how to use this entertaining new resource. Special programs in August that have not already passed. On the 17th will be Crafts Corner. Thursday the 16th is Teen Art Gallery Open Night Reception. Art Club, Thursday the 23rd at 4 p.m., ages 5 to 11.
Hello, Belle Galadon from the Laughlin Chamber, speaking on behalf of Jackie. I have an update from our Freedom of Expression event held in July. We raised about $3,500 from that event, and that money goes to schools in our local area, both Laughlin and Bullhead. We're happy to say that we're giving $500 of that to the Laughlin schools so that way they can use for their arts programs, and the rest of it will be distributed amongst the schools in Bullhead, high school, elementary as well. We have our Tri-State Mega Mixer coming up on Friday, September 14th. That will be held at the Aquarius. We have chambers coming from about 100 to 250 miles away, as well as other businesses in the area that will be in attendance. We also have our Community Achievement Awards that will be held on Saturday, October 27th. And we are still open for nominations. Nomination deadline is this Friday, the 17th. So if you have not nominated somebody, please do so. You can go onto the Laughlin Chamber website and you can submit that nomination there.
Any questions from the board?
How's Jackie doing?
She's good. She's been busy this morning, so I ran over here real quick for her.
Okay.
I was just going to ask that as well. So is that something that's going to be permanently? Should we change it from Jackie to you? Because this is the second meeting that you've been with her.
No, it's just going to be hit and miss, whether it's her or myself.
Yeah, and she was injured, so she's been... Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's been well.
She just had an appointment this morning that ran longer into the afternoon than she expected.
Okay, so here's my question.
Okay.
$3,500.
Yes.
So I'm guessing that seven schools of $500. Is that how it's being split?
No, we have... ...21 schools is being split amongst the $3,500. However, we're giving Laughlin $500 of that. So the other schools on the Bullhead side actually get a smaller cut.
Did I hear you correctly? 21 schools on the east side of the river?
All together? Yes.
We only have one school, Jim.
Yes. We're combined to one school now, so that one school will get $500. There are schools.
Okay, well, received a report from Will Douglas with the University of Nevada Reno Cooperative Extension Service regarding the status of programs and upcoming activities for board discussion only.
Good afternoon, board. As Jim said, I'm Will Douglas. I'm a community-based instructor with the University of Nevada Cooperative Extension, and I know it's been a few months. It's been an extremely busy summer for me, and I was on vacation 1 month, and I think I might have been sick than another day, but I do have a lot that I want to share with you guys in the path over the summer and what's coming up for the fall. What's coming around are pictures from camp. So camp, I believe, was a resounding success. As you all know, American Legion and also Florida Greco got her art gallery. She raised some money for us to go. The American Legion raised some money, and Kathleen here too was instrumental in being able to provide for all the kids to go for free. So the original cost was around $500 because we take charter buses up to Lake Tahoe from camp. What the Southern Area Director of the Cooperative Extension did, he agreed to pay for those charter buses, so it dropped the total amount for each child to go to camp to about $250. And that was money that they were either, the parents were expected to pay, or the individual club tried to raise money toward that total cost. Well, here we were able to fully cover all the kids go to camp. So we had seven kids total, one counselor, and six actual campers from Laughlin, and I had one volunteer that went as well. Prior to this summer, In the history of law for 4-H, we only had one student go, ever. So this was, I think, a huge success. The kids seemed to really enjoy it. I had several parents come up to me already and tell me how grateful they were. Their kid had a great time, and they're thankful that they were a part of that. It wasn't just all fun and games. You know, you'll see in the pictures that they did have fun, and they did play some games, but they also did STEM activities, science, technology, engineering, and math. They actually had, I taught two classes, and three other staff also taught two classes. So we had multiple, some of the things they did, like with me, they did straw rockets. With another staff, they actually did solar ovens, where they cooked some s'mores in the solar oven. There's a picture of that in there. So the kids learned some things, too. You know, that they had fun, but it was also educational. All total, there were about, they might have lost one or two, or gained one or two right at the end, but it was about 114 kids from Vegas, Laughlin, Mesquite, Logandale, Pahrump. Paul Horn was in that group as well. So it's 114 kids total that went to camp, and multiple staff and chaperones and so forth. So I've already got kids that school's barely started. I already have kids that have come to me and said, can I go next year? So apparently I've got some volunteer marketing staff out there who went to camp who are pushing camp pretty good. So other kids are hearing about it. They're wanting to go. And I know as the year progresses, there'll be more of that. Also this summer, I went to Searchlight. And Searchlight's never had a 4-H presence, or really, I don't even think, an extension presence in Searchlight ever. So they got their first experience with 4-H this summer. And my best day, I went for 2 weeks. And the total attendance fluctuated a little bit, but I had 9 kids one day. And I think there were only about 16 to 20 total in Searchlight. So, you know, it was a good turnout. I mean, I think I had a center better of what is actually present in Searchlight.
I think 5 of those from one family, too.
And they seemed really like it. So they asked me, was I going to come back? Because these were just short summer camps. They asked me if I planned to come back. And Kelly at the library there has been awesome. So she's going to open up a room for me to have I'll go probably once every 2 weeks there to Searchlight and do an after-school program, a 4-H program with them. So that's my tentative plan. I've already got it on my rough draft schedule for the fall. I will have a finalized schedule for the fall for you all next time. I'm pretty sure I already have it, but some of my volunteers may add or subtract a class or two from that schedule. And we plan to start in Laughlin as well as in Searchlight. Of course, the bulk of the programming is right here in Laughlin on September 17th. So that gives me time to go around to the classrooms and take my rocket launcher and some of my other stuff and get some kids interested in coming to 4-H. So we are also, and I will have more on this in September, we are planning. So long story short, 4-H, the after-school programming is a part of 4-H, but it's more of what you would call a contemporary model. For 4-H, a traditional model involves meetings in the evening with parents present, though it's kid-driven. And we are working toward a more traditional aspect of the 4-H program. So I'm having an informational meeting for parents and youth at the end of this month. And I already have enough interest just in emails back and forth that we have enough people to actually count as a traditional one. So it's just a matter of answering questions for parents and setting up the actual dates for that, but I will have more information on that. We're not doing away with the after-school program. We're just adding in the traditional model so we begin to build the program to be a more fully oriented 4-H program here.
Any questions from the board?
No, you have a question?
No, I just want to say what a great job you're
doing. Yes.
We really appreciate it here.
Thanks.
All I want to know is that room that you had at back to school, right, is that part of the...
Yeah, it's part of the high school program, yeah. We're actually adding... So some of the classes I'm going to take to a semester format just because there's really not enough to teach to run all year, but I also want to build. So I want to start on a more foundational...
foundational level for some of the kids, and then work toward advanced classes that we can offer. So I am offering for the high schoolers a drone class this fall. So we're going to start out with some easy to control drones, but work our way up to some advanced drones, because there's so much you can do. And even in industry today, I mean, there's a need for drone operators.
Well, if you need a volunteer, we know a really good drone person in the audience. Just saying. That's awesome. I'm at school all the time and I hear good things. So, great.
Any more questions from the board? Thank you, Will.
Certainly, thank you.
Okay, this is announcements of upcoming neighborhood meetings and county or community meetings and events for board discussion. For board discussion only. At the end.
Can I make an announcement? Here is tomorrow night, so.
Oh, I can make that announcement.
For both days?
You have anything to say?
Just the National Night Out, to let everyone know, was changed to October 2 for Laughlin and October 3 for Searchlight due to October 1 being the 1-year ceremony. Ours is being held at
the park.
Yes, the park. I have to fly in my car. And then Searchlights is being held there at the community center, I think, which is the senior center / community center. From 5 to 7, both events are from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m.
Gina, do you know any?
No.
Yes. While I was on holiday, I received several calls from different properties. There has been a change in our health department. The head of the health department is no longer with Southern Nevada Health District, and we have a new individual that will be appointed here in Laughlin. We were experiencing, when I was overseas, some issues as far as health cards and availability and stuff. So I'm asking if staff would possibly set up a meeting with some of the stakeholders in the area and the new director of Southern Nevada Health District. For some consistency within Laughlin, it's always been kind of our standard, at least over the last 20 years, that when a new director comes in, we bring in some of the stakeholders so that we can express some of the concerns that are unique to Laughlin that we have, and it's always a good idea to do that.
Agreed. And I have one more thing, football. Everybody should have a football schedule.
I couldn't hear that said.
Football. The Laughlin High School football schedule is in the newspaper. And everyone should have one.
Okay. Tomorrow night at the American Legion from 5 to 7 will be a Buffalo Leadership Forum. The guest speaker will be Wes Duncan, candidate for Attorney General. And then on Wednesday, September the 19th, the speaker will be Danny Tarkanian, running for third U.S. Congressional District seat. We have received communications here from the Department of Social Services concerning the Community Development Block Grant Citizens Advisory Council. We have to name our appointee by Tuesday, October the 7th, so we'll do that at the next meeting. And C.W. Marvin has advised me that he wishes to step down. I'm hoping Mr. Knoss will continue, and so he will be an alternate. And each of us, the board here, received this packet from the Department of the Army, Los Angeles District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Notification and Safety Education Initiative at formerly used defense sites. and formerly used defense sites in this area include the Fort Mojave Reservation, what was called the Fort Mojave Area, and it's got a project number on it. And there's a second one, Fort Mojave Maneuver Area on tribal land with another project number. If you're involved in this and you're a property owner, you're supposed to receive a letter from the Corps of Engineers. And they advise that if you spot any formerly unexploded munitions, that you spot the location, notify law enforcement, and then the disposal crews will come out and take care of it.
They would like to add a Thursday night of racing that includes, it's UTVs only, but that will be a night event. Part of our permitting through BLM would include a letter of concurrence from the board and the town manager's office saying that we do support this event. And I wanted to have a chance to explain what the event is so you know what you would be supporting or not supporting. So when Best in the Desert first started coming to Laughlin, they included UTVs in the regular day-to-day racing. However, it pushed the races so late into the evening that they had to limit other vehicles that were participating because they can only run so many races during daylight hours. So last year, they eliminated the UTV class, and that decreased participation by more than 30%. So we really saw the impact to the event as far as the economic impact by eliminating that UTV class. So we brainstormed, what are some ways that we can get these UTVs back into the event without any issues that have to do with safety, rushing, you know, putting UTVs on there with the larger vehicles, it's just not safe. So one of the things that they do in other venues is a night race. The UTVs love it. They rarely get to race at night. Our weather is conducive to a night race. What they do is they put lights out there. But this would mean that there would be some, you know, noise overnight for our residents. So it's important that everyone understand that there would be overnight racing. They're looking to do that race from about 6 p.m. to midnight. So wouldn't run past midnight. They anticipate that the end would be closer to 11 o'clock. But it could go as long as midnight, depending on the number of entries. But they will limit it to be sure that racing is done by midnight. Now, barring any major accidents on the course or things like that we can't foresee. Racing will also take place Saturday and Sunday from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they will run time trials on Thursday afternoon. So it would be a full weekend of racing. There'd be those events on Thursday. There would be the tech and contingency on Friday and then racing again on Saturday and Sunday. Now, an event like this can be a nuisance, you know, to our residents because it is loud and it creates dust. But on the other hand, we are talking about an economic impact of, you know, above $10 million for our destination. So that's what we're talking about with room stays, with trips to the gas station, you know, restaurants. The entire economic impact for 2016 was $14.7 million. And that was when we saw a decrease in the event. So this is a very profitable event for our destination. This event is also televised on NBC Sports. Last year, they saw 47 million viewers to that, so that's 47 million people exposed to Laughlin in a very positive light. They also broadcast through MAP TV and through social media, and they had more than a million hits and a million views on social media. So this exposes our destination to a demographic who enjoys the desert, likes our weather. You know, we're hitting our demographic with this event. They are also reincorporating the Laughlin Leap on Saturday night. It would run from about 7 to 9 p.m. on Saturday night, and that will be part of the televised event. We used to do the Laughlin Leap with SCORP years ago, and it was probably the most popular piece of off-road racing that we've ever done. And what it is they build a hill, and the race teams compete to see who can, it's like a long jump for vehicles, essentially. And it's very, very spectator-friendly. It's, you know, they display it up on the Jumbotron. You can get up close and personal for viewing it. So it's a lot of fun for spectators to watch. It's also very valuable for the sponsors of the race teams, because they get to highlight, you know, their logos are right up there, right up front, where people can see them. Where a lot of time with off-road racing, you know, they're around the course, and you may not see them for another 45 minutes or so. You just get that one flash. Where in the league, it's right there up front. So, and this event, we moved it to October. It had fallen in April before. One thing we were seeing in April is it was, you know, that's the peak of our winter visitor period. So we didn't want to displace those visitors who were already coming. So we changed it to a different time of the year that was a better fit for us. So this October race will fall between our two main tourism periods. We start to see our boating traffic decline in October, but we really don't see that uptick in our winter visitors until closer to that November time period. So it's a really vital time to have a special event in Longwood, make sure that we are keeping all of our employees, you know, getting their full-time hours during that time of the year. Any questions from the board on the event or Best in the Desert itself, TV coverage, hours, anything that I can clarify?
Any questions from the board? Okay, you'll be back next month, I assume.
Would you like me to come back next month?
Yes, with your letter, yes.
Oh, you want me to write it? Excellent. Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, because I think at least with discussion on the board, because this is discussion purposes only.
Correct.
So we would need to agendize you with a support letter that we can vote on and endorse and make that an agenda item for next month.
Excellent.
Yes. And adding you to it, you've been on this.
I was taken off because it doesn't make a lot of sense during our down periods. I don't have anything to tell you. So, you know, Brian and Dr. Paulson and I had talked, and I asked him, you know, take me off, and I would let him know if there was something to add me back on, rather than you going through your agenda and getting to me and going, MJ, anybody seen that lady? So this way,
I think we've got to find it easier just to leave you on there, whether you come.
If that's easier, yeah. If it's easier for you, just know that, and I can give Dr. Paulson a heads up on when I'll be here. That way, you can just automatically say she's not here this month. So whatever makes it easier for you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a great day.
That concludes the informational items. Roman numeral 6, planning and zoning previous. Case number AR18-400-122. UC-039417, Jim Kiyama and Rajan 12, 1989 Trust, use permit first application for review for a marijuana establishment retail marijuana store in conjunction with an existing dispensary within an existing commercial building on a 7/10 acre portion of a 20-acre parcel in a C2 commercial zone in the multiple use District 1 overlay district, generally located on the northwest corner of Bruce Woodbury Drive and Casino Drive in Laughlin. This went to the Board of County Commissioners on 7/3, and it was approved for staff conditions, which included removing the time limit. Item is general business, none. Roman numeral 8, comments by the general public. A period devoted to comments by the general public about matters relevant to the board's jurisdiction. No vote may be taken on the matter not listed on the agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. Please step up to the speaker's podium, clearly state your name and address, and please spell your last name for the record. If any member of the board wishes to extend the length of the presentation, this will be done by the chair or by the board by a majority vote. Does anybody want to speak? Kathleen.
Kathleen Whitehead, WHITEHEAD, 2242 High Noons Lane. The American Legion on Labor Day from 4 until 6 is going to have a steak fry. It's going to be $10, and you get steak, baked potato, veggie, salad, and desserts. You have to have your tickets by August the 30th, which you can get up at the post. and 100% of the funds, because it's staying there, it's been donated, 100% of the funds is going for Shop at the Cop. So you have to get your tickets by the 30th so they know how many steaks. They're going to be like T-bone steaks, get them however you like them, and all that other stuff. So it's from 4 to 6 on Labor Day. You pick up your tickets at the post. It's the only place you can get them. You get them from bartenders. That's all I have.
Thank you.
K-I-R-C-H-N-E-R.
Okay. I have a comment and a question about question 3 that's going to come up on the November ballot here in Nevada. Living in Laughlin, if this does go through, where would we possibly get our electricity from if we don't have Nevada Electric, seeing that we live in a rural area? I'm worried about the deregulation because it hasn't worked for a lot of other areas. And I just wondered if the board is going to be eventually looking into this and seeing where power would come from other than Nevada Electric.
Thank you.
Okay.
Pablo for 1631 Gallagher, Sonora. You represent the Laughlin Economic Development Corporation, 1300 in the Laughlin Lagoon. I appreciate the waiver of the 3-minute requirement, Mr. Chairman. Okay. It's only been a 5.5-year process and multi-millions of dollars. I think it's deserving. It's been an interesting 2 weeks. I'd like to report to the board that the communication between county staff and public works and VTN has improved. It hasn't. I was notified by Commissioner Sislak. As you know, we were planning on awarding the contract on August 7th. They were set to mobilize on August 8th. They need 3.5 weeks to mobilize the project. And they can only be in the water from September 1st to December 31st. Commissioner Sislak advised me that there was a meeting held on Friday, the 27th of July, between the engineers for the property owners, paid for by the property owners, county staff, that in bond council, that they didn't receive the U.S. Fish and Wildlife permit in time, and that they were going to pull the agenda item off the August 7th. Not one person from Public Works, from Purchasing, from County Finance, or anyplace else called either myself, any of the property owners, our lender, Mohawk State Bank, or our contractor for Breshbot. Absolutely no communication. On Monday, when I received the information from Commissioner Sislak, I asked that it be placed back on the agenda, at least to be put it before the entire board for the August 7th agenda, to indicate to them they are now stepping into prohibitive time for our dredging, because we need every bit of the 120 days. And by them kicking it, they wanted to kick it off the agenda totally. Did not want to replace it on the agenda. I appeared on the morning of August 7th on behalf of the property owners and explained to the entire board how pathetic the communications situation was between county staff and this community and these owners, that lender and that contractor. I made it perfectly clear that they are at the end of the whip here. I don't want to hear any complaints from bond council. This should have been done many months ago, and it's only floated to the surface within 5 days with no notice to anybody. Is Public Works embarrassed? You bet they're embarrassed. Should they be embarrassed? You bet they should be embarrassed. Now, with that said, I immediately contacted U.S. Fish and Wildlife, contacted our federal delegation, things the county did not do. I contacted the lead agency for permitting, which is U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, They assured me that they felt that they could have this all done. They had the approval letters that were approved by the county, already in pre-draft form, ready to sign and send it. And we should stay on the next step, agenda item, which will be August 21st. I asked for the item to be held on August 7th and reinstated on August 21st, and under no circumstances extended beyond the Board of County Commission meeting on September 4th. What I'm here to tell this board is that if I hadn't received a call from Commissioner Sisolak of Friday's meeting bouncing us off the board, I wouldn't have found out until the Wednesday publication of the agenda 4 days later that call for the agenda to take place 3 days after that. I wouldn't have had time to respond to what this lack of communication was. I've expressed my total dissatisfaction with the Director of Public Works, the Deputy Director of Public Works, with our civil engineer, and hopefully it's back on. But I cannot communicate to this board that the relationship between Public Works and this project and this community, its lender and the contractor, have been anything other than pathetic. And I don't know that that's not going to happen just before the August 21st deadline and the September 4th deadline. Now keep in mind, both of these deadlines now need a waiver for going in, staying in the water during the spawning season, which is after December 31st. So now the project, hypothetically, the best case would be to start mobilization on the 22nd of August. After that meeting, then we would have 3 weeks of mobilization. That means that we couldn't go in the water until the 1st of October. And you can count 120 days. Every contractor needs every bit of that 120 days. That means the project wouldn't be done until the end of January. That's 30 days into the spawning season. If they push it off beyond August 21st to September 4th, now you've got another 2 weeks. This is getting very problematic, and obviously without those permits, it's not going anywhere. I've been assured by the Bureau of Reclamation and U.S. Fish and Wildlife that they have everything they need, and the only open item is to provide a post-development monitoring that takes place in 2019 and 2020. It's not anything that would be required during the process of this initial 162A. It would relate to 162B. So, it's very problematic. I was very, very upset that nobody, and I don't believe, I didn't talk to every one of the town board members or the town manager, that he was aware of this taking place. Are the property owners hot over it? You bet they are. Is the contractor hot over it? The lender? You bet they are. And, I made it real clear that before all seven of those county commissioners, this community deserves better communication from Public Works, from purchasing, than we've gotten on this project. And if they're going to change something off the agenda, the town manager and the town board members should be immediately notified, not with once a month reports. I was shared the July 31st report from Public Works on this project, and obviously it's 2 weeks old now, but it's probably one of the most pathetic reports we've had since we started. It has almost nothing in it. And so I'm not sure that we're getting the communication either written or verbal, but I wanted to explain to the board and to this community what my life is like when this kind of stuff happens. I mean, you run like hell, and you can't expect the federal agencies to call us and say that the county's bond council isn't happy. We expect the county to tell us that the county's bond council isn't happy. Do I have a firm understanding from the county right now that we're going to be on that August 21st? I placed 4 calls this morning. I told them I was going to be testifying today, and I asked for calls back, confirming that we would be on that August 21st meeting. I received no response. Now, under a more positive issue I'd like to talk about. It's been 3.5 years since we've had any flood control facilities in this town. The last one was the 163 Casino Drive improvement. As you know, this community pays 4% 0.25 of 1 cent from the sales tax to the Clark County Regional Flood Control District. It's time for us to ask the Regional Flood Control District to come into the current accounting for our Regional Flood Control funds and to start the design of what's on our priority list. I think next on our priority list is the drainage that goes into the lagoon from through Loughlin Bay Village. We have some other items we should probably address with the drainage, and that would be on the west side of Eagle's Highway to slow the water down that's now coming into the Edgewater Bell. What we saw when the pipe broke, that shows what happens if we have a drainage problem. So I think it's time we get some response and ask the Flood Control District to provide in advance the board some funding that we have available to us for that. I have spoken with the new owners of the Edgewater and the Bell, and that was one of the first issues they had in front of us, was that drainage issue that runs between the Edgewater and Tower and the ruins. Other than that, I appreciate you staying on the issues with respect to getting the backbone water and sewer designed for the 9,000 acres, and I appreciate you giving me this time. If there's any questions, I'll be glad to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bill Bray. Under these calls to the public comments, we are not allowed to discuss this with you. Anyone else wish to speak? Second call. Third call. Young man. Item 9, next meeting, September the 10th, 2018, Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. in this very same location. The floor is open for a motion to adjourn.
I'll go ahead and make the motion. We adjourn.
And I will second.
Motion by Oaks, second by Mackey, third by Feathers, fourth by Machinacci.